We are in between a stone and a hard place. To the ant farm we must go, but don't forget, we mustn't upset the butts. We are talking Doom Patrol Season 1, Episode 12, Cyborg Patrol. The AfterBuzz After Show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Don't upset the butts, Oliver.
No, really? I like butts, though.
Yeah.
You like butts.
I mean, I like butts. I like big butts, and I cannot lie,
right,
but not
right.
The kinds that eat back, man.
Yeah, okay.
Those butts, we get the weirdest Doom Patrol character yet in these episodes. The butts.
I was here for it, though.
Yeah.
You know, there are lots of different types of butts.
And we saw, they all look the same, though. The butts all look the same. They were just vicious little creatures.
They were very, very deadly.
Yeah.
And I don't want to mess around with them, but, you know.
Yeah.
As long as it takes down the bad guys, the butts, I'm good.
I understand. I've heard of eating ass, but I've never heard of ass eating you. That's
yeah.
what we're talking about as we are talking Season 1, Episode 12 of Doom Patrol. This is Cyborg Patrol. We get this backstory for Cyborg, and it's so good. We are going to be discussing so many things. I'm your host. My name is Teron. I'm joined by the glorious,
Hello.
The infamous, the one and only Oliver is in the building.
Hey, happy to be here.
Well, thank you for being here.
Of course.
We appreciate you, of course.
Anytime.
And we're going to get into so many topics as we get into the ant farm. We're going to talk about Cyborg. Is he going crazy? We're going to talk about the reveal, which actually threw me for a loop, too. I'm not going to lie. We're going to talk about the future. We have some news and gossip.
Ooh,
and get nice. Into predictions.
All right, let's do it. I'm ready.
Before we get to all of that, what were your overall thoughts of this episode?
I actually really like this episode because in my perspective, this is the episode where the Doom Patrol came together without Cyborg to actually rescue him. And so to see them able, obviously it didn't end well at the end of the episode. It wasn't a perfect picture ending, but it was so cool to see these characters come up with a plan, including Silas, to get, you know, his boy back. And I just love, I'm such a huge Rita stan, and seeing her having to go inside of Robot Man and everything worked out. And it was really cool seeing our team really come together finally at the end of the season.
I loved the way you put that because it was a great perspective to say it's them coming together as a team. I was going to be like, oh, I really like this episode because it was so clear cut. Mm. And that reveal to me was actually, I'm not going to lie, I bought into the, I could see Silas selling out the team
right.
for his son. I can understand that because his son's always been the priority. But Silas actually, when they show the flashback and he goes back and they're discussing
right.
the plan, I was like, yes, because I was on board with Silas. And then when what I thought betrayed the team, I was like, oh, man, what a mm-hmm. POS. And then I realized, nope, this was that moment. This was the Snape moment where you realize
right.
he's been working for the good guys the whole time. He's been working with them. So I really enjoyed this episode. And so it was just, I like that the way you said
it. The writers did a really good job of just throwing us for a loop and kind of questioning Silas, but then finally getting, first we were here for Silas, then we questioned him because, oh, he turned on us. But no, we're team Silas.
100%. So it's so good. It's so strong. Let's talk about the ant farm from the get-go. Let's get right into the nitty-gritty. This is this farm. The oddities have this place, and it's secret, top secret location. This is Area 51 meets the Vontae's Inferno, a description given in the story.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on the ant farm?
It was really cool because this is definitely a location that we haven't yet seen in this universe, and we're exploring all these different universes and finally getting into this ant form. I was just really excited that we're finally getting a cyborg-centric episode because I don't think we've really had a centric episode for Victor yet.
Yeah, not yet.
And so for him to be thrown in and captured, I think it was definitely necessary in order to retrieve him and also learn about his backstory more and flesh him out, because he's definitely a character who we only see as just this hero. But no, I think that there's so much more to him. He's definitely a hero with lots of trauma, with the death of his mom and also his strained relationship with his father. So I definitely felt for him in this episode, going through all these emotions and also being captured at the same time.
I thought it was very interesting with the ant farm, the way it was laid out. It reminded me of every top secret alien facility you could think of, even to the point where those crash test dummy robots were doing everything. That was actually very cool and very weird.
And creepy.
And it seems that this Bureau of Normalcy, right? The Bureau of Normalcy actually has a lot of odd things within it. They are the oddest of them all, but they want to be in charge of everything that's odd. They have all this technology, and a lot of these people are actually what I would say is cruel. It seems they're the one agent that's going to attack Jane.
Oh, yeah, torture her?
Yeah, torture her. I mean, obviously we're going to talk about that, but the concept of them just being cruel agents.
Yeah.
What are they actually preventing? What are they protecting? Mm-hmm. What is their purpose other than we understand it's to weaponize, but what else is their purpose? You want to weaponize and eliminate? I don't understand.
Right. It's almost as, I definitely think it's that, you know, these are these assets that we could use as weapons to, I don't know, fight wars, not to necessarily end wars, but also I think they said in the episode at one point, we want to also maintain normalcy.
Yes.
Right? So I also think it's maybe they want to control these different entities in order to, because I think at the end of the day, they're afraid of them. And by being able to control them and use them as weapons, they can, they won't be afraid of them because these weapons aren't going to fight back on them. They're able to control these weapons. So I think that's kind of like where the Bureau is coming from.
You know, we get this character, I believe his name is it John Brittle? Is that the guy who runs the ant farm basically? Or
was he the one eating the Big Mac?
No, that's the general, right? Oh, okay. So that's the general, and the general is General Patterson, GS9 Patterson. That's the guy who's basically he's a great character, by the way. Mm-hmm. He's in charge, and you see him kill himself at the end because things have gone awry, and he's not going to take the fall for it. So we get him, and we get General Wampus. He's the one who shot himself. Mm-hmm. So, and then you get GS9 Pattern, who's the government official, and they're all in the same room. But the concept of having this person running it, that's like, I like normalcy so much that when my wife had a plastic spoon or fork out of place, I stabbed her in her eye. Like, that's weird. Like, right. No. Yeah, you guys are crazy. That's, you're extremist, the extreme of anything.
It's almost as if
is absurd.
Being too normal makes you the craziest person in the world.
Exactly.
You know, our Doom Patrol is more normal in comparison to you.
100%. Like, so with the ant farm and the design we talked about, and they had the different rooms, they actually had all the technology to incapacitate each and every one of them.
Right.
It made me think when Cyborg was chained up, what were they using? Cyborg has super strength, I thought. So why couldn't he just...
His lasers.
I know Grid's off. But he still has his super strength. Right. He still has his cyborg components. Why was he not able to just break? Did they have the perfect way to entrap each and every one of them? They had the magnet for Robot Man. They had the chair for Jane, which was a flashback to her being in the insane asylum, which I actually thought the agent, the black agent, Mac Wells, I thought that was... He was just like the orderly from the insane asylum. The same... Yeah. Kind of persona and character. She broke his arm. Now she's going to break her will or spirit and jaw. How did they trap her? How do you trap Jane?
Right. And how did her personalities not come? Well, obviously her personalities did, but they were very dormant being captured.
Yeah.
Until Karen obviously came, which I'm a fan of Karen personally.
You're a Karen fan.
I am a Karen stan. But yeah, I think also maybe she's just trying to, I don't know. It's very interesting. Obviously, they wanted to be captured. That was the plan. So, but yeah, I'm not really sure about Cyborg. He could have probably fought back.
I feel like he had something, like, not fought back, because he was taken when they bugged him and they took him. But he has his super strength. He was just chained.
Yeah.
So I was just interested in that. I was interested in who the prisoner next to him was. I feel that.
Oh yeah, the one who looked like Jesus.
It felt like, look, I'm pretty sure that it was Flex Mentallo, and that's a big deal if we get him.
Yeah, which we will.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's a big deal. That's what I'm pretty sure. Maybe that's so. Who it was. That's a big reveal, and a lot of people did not know, and they were not sure, but I'm I'm pretty positive. And the way, and I felt the most for Negative Man, because he'd been there, he'd been tortured before. It took a lot for him to agree to this in the first place. And even going in, it was like, that's what sold me on Silas's betrayal, was because Negative Man got captured. And I was like, he would do anything not to be captured.
Right.
And for him to have willingly gone into there, this place that has just tormented him and his soul, mm-hmm. even Negative Man's soul, was just so brave of him, in my opinion.
It was just definitely that you bring that up, because I think Larry is a lot more, he definitely developed from the last episode. I think he really did confront his demons with reconciling with his past lover. So I think now that he has done that, he has so much more progress to be made. So I think that's maybe why he was so confident in going in and infiltrating into rescue Victor. So maybe that's why. He's really cool. I'm definitely behind Larry. I think it's just so cool seeing him so much more confident.
It is.
And he had so much knowledge to share with the team, too, while planning.
Here's my thing with Larry, right? We're not understanding Negative Man personally. I know what his powers are mm-hmm. as far as what they're supposed to be. However, they come and go. Negative Man, I feel like, has way more power than we're letting on. And we haven't seen that yet. We saw him we saw him go through the crash dummies and just basically annihilate them quickly, and destroy all the computers. But we don't see that supercharge that Larry has, the radiation thing. Mm-hmm. And then Negative Man has the nuclear charge thing. So I'm waiting for that to come about. I thought that would come out in the
end. I forget if he's able to only control it Negative Man is only able to come out like for brief moments of time. I feel like that was mentioned or something. I could be wrong. Maybe the chat will help me out with that. But
well, let's keep it. Remember, we are keeping the chat alive. And I wanted to say this before we go on to the next subject. I appreciate each and every one of you for being, if not as much, way more important to this panel than all of us. You are on the panel too, each and every one of you at home. We love hearing your thoughts, comments, and theories as well. You also are just a pool of knowledge, and we enjoy reading everything you have to say. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for being a part of our team.
Absolutely. Shout out to the chat. Ivan Soto, we loved you. We missed you last week, buddy. We got Billie Jean in the chat as well. And they're just chatting away. They are really chatting away. Ivan Soto is the MVP for sure.
Every week, and Ivan and Billie Jean and all the slew of others, thank you so much for being there. If you're listening to us on iTunes, remember, you're still a part of the chat too. We'd love to hear from you.
Get us in that comment.
Us the comments. We need that 5-star rating. Tell your friends. Spread the word. Share the love. And we talk about all variety of favorite After Buzz after shows. So any show you love, we talk about it right here. And honestly, any show you love, I'm probably the host. So pay attention, tell your friends, spread the word, share the love. And thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV talk.
Yeah, we love you guys.
All right, let's talk Cyborg story, because that's basically what this was. Mm-hmm. Cyborg is locked up and he is going through it with Grid. Is Grid rejuvenating, or is this just his mind playing tricks on him, Oliver?
Well, knowing how the episode ended Mr. Nobody, I don't know if everything has just been kind of like a lie, you know? So I wonder if this has been like a facade that Grid's taking over. I don't know if this is completely Mr. Nobody doing this, or maybe it's a separate thing. So I'm baffled at this point. And that was another twist, you know, that happened in this episode. So I didn't see that coming. There were two twists, and I was here for it at the end of the day, but still.
The first, when it comes to Mr. Nobody basically says, I just pushed you. Like, I pulled some strings, but I didn't make anything happen. You made all your choices. And he says that. And it's like, yes, he even implanted that false memory. And let's dissect that false memory, because the memory was basically Silas talking to his lab partner. Lab partner says, well, what if the nanites take over? And he goes, so? Basically, that's the gist of the conversation. And that was enough to set Cyborg off.
Yeah.
It was everything he believed his father, who he's never trusted. And it seems to me, they've never established why why Vic doesn't trust Silas mm-hmm. enough. Silas seems to be very much on his son's side. Sure, he's a little strict. He's not as endearing yeah. or loving, emotional, doesn't show the emotional side, but he seems to have his son's best interest at heart.
Yeah.
What side is Silas on? Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
I definitely think by the end of the episode, he was a good guy. I just think maybe his, I think a lot of it came from his relationship with Vic. And obviously, mom died, that put a strain on it. And their relationship as father and son turned into a business, like a partnership. It didn't become personable. It wasn't something that was very family-like. It was very business-orientated. It was just, yeah. they were partners. They were co-workers almost.
But that might be the only way that Vic's dad knows how to love. It's through the love of science, through the, you're my experiment, and I love you, and you're my son. Because he keeps saying the phrase, I did this to save his life. Mm-hmm. And he believes that.
I mean, he wouldn't be here. Vic wouldn't be here without Silas saving his life and becoming
without the grid, without Cyborg.
Right.
Yeah. So okay. The show has definitely sold me on the fact that Silas was a shady enough character that I believed the betrayal
right.
when I first thought it was a betrayal.
Yeah.
Then, even though against my better judgment, against the fact that I've always been on board with Silas, then we see the flip, and Silas was part of the plan the whole time,
right.
which was such a relieving reveal. I mean, I know it's a redundant plot twist that happens, but I was so grateful for it this mm-hmm. time because I didn't want Silas to be a bad guy.
Right.
And I was so glad that he didn't betray the team
right.
and take their trust for granted. So we get this moment where now Silas and Vic are confronting each other mm-hmm. and Vic turns on his father and just beats the crap out of him. And honestly, he's Cyborg. Silas, by all rights, should be dead. He punched him dead on with his cybernetic arm. Right. This wasn't his regular hand. It wasn't a finger. I mean, he punched him as hard as he could and just bashed his father.
That he did.
Yeah. And then Mr. Nobody gives him the reveal, which is, I basically put this in motion, but you made your own choices.
Right.
So this, everything you did, you did.
So there were three twists. Shout out to the chat. Elena's in the chat.
Elena, welcome, joined. Elena.
We miss you, girl. But yeah, that was insane. So like I said, three twists in this episode. And I don't want to defend Vic's actions because I think killing his father was completely wrong. But it almost makes sense just because of all the built up frustration within him and not having all the full answers from his father throughout his life. So obviously don't kill your father, but his motivation did make sense, as I feel like that was the final straw. Seeing that false memory was the final straw, hence punching your dad to death. So I don't defend you, Vic.
You don't condone it, but you understand it.
I understand it. I feel bad for him because obviously he feels horrible by, you know, having his dead father in his arms by the end of the episode, and definitely feeling so much remorse and guilt by doing that. So
well,
now
he should have killed his exactly, father who could exactly. come there to rescue him.
Exactly.
I mean, I didn't, oh my gosh, this was so, like when he was punching him, I was like, whoa,
right.
this is heavy. Why aren't they, this is one thing, with all their therapy sessions that they talk amongst themselves, their communication skills mm-hmm. suck. Why wouldn't they just ask questions?
Right.
Let's have a conversation.
I think maybe because Cyborg is held to this standard of being this almighty hero, whereas the Doom Patrol, they're kind of like this band of misfits, as I always call them. I think it's important for Cyborg to kind of go through an arc such as this to kind of become that, not fallen angel. I'm trying to think of a better term for him, to kind of just go around this darker path, I think, in order to really develop and maybe hopefully help the Doom Patrol, in a sense. I don't know.
I will say this. They haven't established Cyborg as a big enough superhero. Mm-hmm. I know about Cyborg because of everything outside of the actual show. So on the show, and these are my problems. Once again, love the show. Mm-hmm. Love all the characters. Cyborg, to me, number one, he's not a big enough guy. Like, I wish Cyborg was a bigger mm-hmm. Vic, right? It was a bigger, taller, more built Vic. Number one. Number two, they didn't establish the storyline of how great of a superhero he was. Mm-hmm. He didn't have his rockets. He doesn't use his technology appropriately and aptly. Mm,
you think that they really grounded him?
They grounded him almost a little too much. So when they talk about him as a huge hero and he's so famous and everything, I'm like, why? He just stopped a mugging.
You just want more.
Yeah, I want more meat with their, like, I understand Batman and the Titans. Of course, we all know Batman, right? And Batman's still Batman. Superman, we get it. Even when you watch the CW shows with Supergirl or Flash, you get it, why they're revered, who they are, what they play. But with Cyborg, we never got any of this. We got straight into the Doom Patrol, where he basically mixed in and he was a misfit, and now we see he's even more of a misfit, as you like to put it, more than all of them. So I never got that backstory, even though I'm really enjoying this acting and the way it's portrayed and the storyline that's unfolding as it comes out. I just wish it was more. I do wish that sometimes. I often find myself thinking that this could be, if they told me this was Cyborg before he became Cyborg, I would believe it.
Okay.
If this was a teenage Cyborg, like from the Teen Titans, mm-hmm. I would understand that a lot more.
That makes sense. Now that you bring that up, because they haven't had him becoming the star that he is apparently.
And he doesn't look like it either. He just looks like a teenager. He's young. It's Cyborg, who is played by Jovian Wade. Who's a great actor and great person, actually, from what I can tell. It just comes off very young on the show. That's my only thing. But once again, I'm also torn because I like it so much. Right. I just wish it was a little more. It was a little more on that end. We get the doors opening and everyone's getting freed. Guys, we don't know who they have locked up back there. Sure, you might have a lot of good people, but there might be a couple Mr. Nobodies who were locked up, and now you've released all of them.
That's true. I'm sure there's some bad apples up in there.
A couple.
They had good intentions, but there could probably be some duds up in there.
Of course.
Sure.
And Dino Diamond Vegetable Man, or whatever his name is, he might be in there just going out and going to go commit more crimes.
We like him.
Yeah, we like him because we're not being murdered by him.
Exactly.
And I like, when Robot Man's captured, we have that part where he's like, I'm a robot. I'm a man inside a robot's body. And they're like, yeah, we have a bunch of those. We have the super sarcastic toaster that everyone likes.
I mean, all they needed was the magnet.
Yeah.
And
It's old design. There's nothing here. So Cyborg, we get him talking to his neighbor. We get him stuck in this. He's going mad. He thinks that the grid is basically controlling his body. We had seen him cut his own arm open, which, once again, he didn't show any pain when he did that. He's supposed to feel pain. I also don't know how Robot Man does feel pain. Like, he's always screaming and upset. Yeah. It's almost like he doesn't know that he's a robot.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Interesting. Yeah. I haven't noticed that.
He's always afraid. He's afraid of things that happen. And it's like, you're a robot, bro.
He took down Francis.
He took down Francis, but he screamed like a little bitch before he did.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Like, there's just so much. It's. I get it. It's one of those shows where it brings
lots of questions.
A lot of questions. Lots of questions. It's the point. It's just off the grid show.
Yeah, we just gotta learn to accept some.
Yeah, we just want to know. I want to understand if there's explanations for a lot of these. What did you think about the butts? We get the butts. They come out. They basically eat all the bad guys.
Well, I think we need more butts. I always need more butts in my life.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it was funny. It's like these assholes are getting eaten by assholes.
That's a great great way to look at it. What is the strangest character we've gotten on Doom Patrol so far?
Ooh.
Are you going with the butts?
Maybe not the butts. Maybe I forget the horse's name. Remember the horse head's name?
Oh, yeah.
We got that. We got Admiral Whiskers. I do love me some Admiral Whiskers, though. What was the roach's name?
Ezekiel.
Okay. I can't even name
but
one.
But I'm going to go with Beardmaster.
Oh my God.
Beard Hunter to me was the weirdest. I don't know why, even though it's just Norman Person.
The grossest. Yeah. I'll take the butts over him, honestly.
That's a real thing. And then we now get Cyborg cradling a possibly dead Silas.
Oh, I think he's dead.
That was a pummeling.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Silas is no more.
Yeah. And I saw, and I liked how each character had their own escape reveal. Mm-hmm. So we had Rita, who, by the way, the reluctant hero, is now the heroine. Like, she's always coming to the rescue. And you've always loved Rita.
Yes. I loved her, how she's turned from damsel in distress to damsel kicking ass or like saving everyone.
Yeah,
you know,
that's awesome. Out and she frees Robot Man. Then we see Karen, who Mac is about to attack, and then Karen comes alive and then does her 90s love story thing.
That's what happens when you listen to Ace of Base over and over again. The Sign, it's a great song, but don't play it around Jane or Karen.
Well, that's the thing. He actually tapped in and the other song comes on. He's like, that's my song. And then she she becomes Karen and zaps him into love. And of course, they're walking around. And they were walking around and no one thought, hey, why are they free? Right? What's going on?
Well, it was Karen still, right? Yeah. They were like, oh, blonde white girl, she's fine.
She's fine.
Yeah.
So then they match up, and Rita was supposed to free Karen, but Karen decided to get free, and then Jane comes back and just punches Mac, and Mac's done. And they all meet up, and they walk in on Cyborg, knowingly, understanding that something happened to the father. I don't think they know that it was Cyborg, but they have this eerie feeling.
Right.
They can tell.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to admit that he killed his dad, or maybe... I don't know. He could easily admit that he's the one who killed Silas, because Silas, he helped them. He was a member of the team. He was there to help get Vic back. So I wonder what their reactions are going to be once they do find out eventually that he was the one who killed his dad.
I mean, obviously, we're going to get so much of this and more in next week's episode. Let's get into part of our special segment, because one of the things is Jovian Wade, the actor who plays Cyborg, actually has this huge article on Den of Geek where he breaks down Cyborg's big moment and discusses it. He also, if you notice, Doom Patrol just made Cyborg's origin story darker than the Titans. Mm-hmm. So we keep getting a different version of Cyborg, and each time it keeps getting darker and darker and darker. And this is a new dark Cyborg. I mean, okay, so right there he looks built. Let's definitely got a 20 pack. Let's say Jovian Wade, who obviously, like I said, great actor, good selection. I just have this always nagging feeling about Cyborg. How do you like Cyborg as a character as we go into it?
He definitely surprised me, because when I thought Cyborg was going to be a part of the Doom Patrol, I was thinking, oh wait, he's not a part of the Doom Patrol. He's part of Titans, part of Justice League. But I really love Jovian and what he's doing with Cyborg. I think I still want more. Something's missing. Ever since you brought it up in this after show, I'm like, huh, maybe, yeah, something is missing.
Yeah.
But I do like this new direction that they're taking with a darker Cyborg. I don't know if they're going into like
a darker Cyborg who basically killed both his parents, by the way. He's killed his mom, from what we can tell from the memory, where he knocks the explosion.
Accidentally, though.
Accidentally, but his temper. Mm. And then we see the temper get the better of him, and he kills his father as well.
Right.
So we're going to get into that. I mean, this was his... He just is going through it all the way. I mean, he kills both his parents. How do you live with that?
Well, I still wonder if that's an actual correct memory of the accident of the mother's death. That's a theory that I've been thinking about. I wonder if that's actually, maybe that's a false memory too.
Sure, but I feel like Silas has corroborated it a couple times where he would have said, or maybe not. I mean, their communication with each other is so poor, but when Vic says that, Silas doesn't deny it. He just tries to change the narrative.
Yeah.
He doesn't go, oh no, that never happened. What do you mean, son?
Yeah.
But Silas was very surprised that Grid was stored in a computer and Grid was coming back. Do you think Grid is the one messing with his mind, or is this Mr. Nobody all the way?
That's a good question. I really do think that Mr. Nobody has something to do with Grid overtaking his body. Now that he's playing, I feel like if he can play with memories, he can play with Grid. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's, honestly, this is one of those things. Let's get right into predictions.
All right, let's do it. Let's do this. All right.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, well, Ivan Soto.
Sure, what is Ivan?
He says, Ollie, do you think, oh gosh, I just missed it. Ollie, do you think that the Doom Patrol do we even need Niles at this point? Because when Niles was here, the team was closed off and not progressing that well. Now look at them using their powers pretty well.
Huh. Ooh.
Very good. It's so funny that thank you for that, Ivan Soto. It's so funny that you bring that up, because now I'm questioning Niles, because it's almost as if the Ant Farm is doing similar things to what Niles has done to the Doom Patrol.
Oh, so you think Niles is just a milder Ant Farm?
A little bit. And still with Jane, remember Jane had a room at that what the old Doom Patrol house. So I'm questioning Niles.
You saw what happened when they questioned Silas.
Right.
I mean,
so I don't know where Niles is going to come into play now, but I definitely think we're going to see a darker side of Cyborg. I wonder if the Doom Patrol is going to have to combat a dark Cyborg if Grid takes over him.
Well, completely. that was the prediction I believe was painted. There was this dark Cyborg on the horizon. So how do they overcome a dark Cyborg? Because Cyborg at his strongest is actually a very strong entity. And Jane, who's super powerful, but is also unsustainable and uncontrollable. So we'll see how that works. I mean, she said it several times, I can't make any of the personalities come out. So I think in my prediction, when asked, I think we obviously get more Flex Mentallo.
Yeah.
I think that's the next big reveal. I believe that the prisoner in the next room was definitely Flex. And so that would be the play. Obviously, Silas, I believe he's dead. I would be surprised if he's alive. I mean, the barrage, but plus this is the Cyborg path that they chose. I don't think Cyborg can handle it mentally. Mm. And I don't think this is Grid. I think this is just his mental state.
Really?
And Mr. Nobody just basically pushing and prodding, because Mr. Nobody said, I'm going to take everything away from you. And he's doing exactly as he promised.
Yeah, that's true, because it's easy to do that. I think Mr. Nobody kind of seeked Vic rather than some of the other characters.
Yes.
Because Vic has everything to lose. I mean, look what happened with Silas.
Yeah.
He has the quote-unquote picture-perfect life, whereas the Doom Patrol... They misfits.
We love them. Thank you so much for being a part of the chat. We appreciate it. We're going to know and find out so much more. Until then, where can people find you, Oliver?
You guys can find me on all social media platforms at OllieDreamer.
That's what's up. And of course, I am Teron Lurley, and I am Teron all across the board. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And I host a slew of other AfterBuzz after shows, so make sure to check them out and tell your friends to tell their friends. Until next time, same Doom Patrol AfterBuzz time, same Doom Patrol AfterBuzz channel. We'll see you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.